are ready. Oh boy, it's the Cool Nerd Weed Show. That's Diaz.
And that's Sasha.
Where are we?
We're live from Hollyweed.
Oh, we are live from Hollyweed. Oh man, it's good to be back home. I feel like I haven't been home in a long time. Oh, thank you, IW Radio, for having us on your airwaves every single week live. Follow us on Twitter at Cool Nerd Weed. Follow us on Instagram at Cool Nerd Weed Show. I took a big break from the world, I feel like, this week for the most part. Shut off my brains.
Yeah. Part of it was... It was all our choice, but part of it was because we were just almost completely off the grid this week.
Almost, like, completely off the grid. Like, we had to put together all of our technology devices together for anything to even remotely, music just to stream. We went to the Sequoias.
The Sequoias.
Are there many or one? the Sequoias?
There's a lot of them.
Well, we saw them.
We were in the southern Sierra Nevada mountains.
Yes.
In like southern Sequoia.
It was beautiful. It was very beautiful. And we were in the forest, straight up in the forest. We needed to just stop.
Yeah. Along the Kern River, we cruised up like this, the Kern River, both past.
Very pretty.
Like southeast of Lake Isabella and then north of Lake Isabella. Yeah. And it's desolate.
So desolate. There was not a lot of people around. There was not a lot of like, I mean... I was wondering before we, you know, got up there, like what would you do for weed?
Oh,
would you have to drive like 40 minutes away from where you live?
There's
to get your
no
weed?
Shops in Bakersfield. It's only trap shops and maybe delivery services.
So you probably have to go trap.
I think unless there was a delivery service in Walford Heights, which is
a ways still.
Yeah, it's still a ways. I don't know if they would have. We probably had to meet them at like the gas station or something. Which those gas stations are sketchy as fuck.
And because they're the everything store. They're the gas station. Yeah. They're your liquor. They're your fishing supplies. They're your
fishing license.
Yep.
Wilderness permits.
Literally, the term rest stop is these. It's like when we were driving through the town. Like I was like, I feel like we're playing Red Dead Redemption. Like it was like Pioneer Town. Like,
oh yeah,
it was
Kernville.
Kernville.
Kernville is
shout
very
out to Kernville.
Red Dead Redemption.
I feel felt like we should have been on a horse.
Yeah, totally. From the pioneer days.
It's the settlers.
Made us think. We were reflect on the early days.
We did. We took.
Of California.
Well, we took probably a collective of 200 milligrams that one day. Remember, we just like sat in silence for like five hours. Like,
that was
I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah.
But I didn't have my phone because it was inside playing music. And I don't remember if you had yours or not, but I'd taken my second absolute Jax capsule, which shout out. Those are like.
So good.
They just hit me right away and they get me the giggliest kind of high. Warning, they will fuck you up. So we're going to talk about the marijuana test. Maybe that's what they took to judge the marijuana goggles. They will get you high. But shout out Absolute Extracts. They're one of the only capsules that give me relief. And I think we both took two, though.
We did, eventually. That's 100 milligrams is a lot for
it's
me. But we were...
Yeah, for you.
I was enjoying it.
I was great.
And, you know, it was relaxing. There was nobody around.
No, it was so quiet and beautiful.
Quiet.
All the birds.
We were watching birds for like
birds.
4 hours, 5 hours.
Just silently watching birds. Like
We saw a bobcat
and like... It was interesting because I thought like for sure we'd take mushrooms, but I just like didn't feel
the
need.
Yeah, we didn't.
I think like weed and edibles. I mean, I'm very glad we had weed and like edibles and stuff like that because I also didn't really want to smoke. I didn't want to smoke too much. It is fire season here in California. So we brought the Puffco. We got those exotic genetics. Crumble that
we got.
The
exotic genetic crumble was delicious.
Oh my God, so good.
Was it strawberries and cream?
Strawberries and cream. Fucking collaboration with 777. Exotic Genetics figured it the fuck out. This was on sale, I think.
Yeah, that's crazy. It was, I was not expecting.
Here, keep talking about it.
What was it, like $30? A G? $35 with tax, maybe? Oh my God. We gotta snatch all those up before they're gone.
Yeah, I don't even know where
they ran out. Did I steal it from you? I don't know. But we did bring the Puffco. It's great because you're not at risk of like burning down the forest with the Puffco.
Exactly.
Which, so, you know, is it's high fire season now.
Yeah. And we did some outside activities and whatnot. So I was like, I'm usually not even that conscious of that because I always talk about like me being a city gal and everything and how I don't realize, you know, nature happens. But it was, there's just been so many fires and you're literally in a place made of trees. Like we have the mountains here and shit. But it was so weird because when we were driving to there, it was like rocks.
It
like
was all like
desert mountains.
Like desert, high desert.
And if you live anywhere like that's like kind of like high deserty, like Nevada or something like that, you know the mountains that we're talking about. It was half that, and half mountains.
And then it like faded.
It did. It
faded. We were totally in the forest.
Out of nowhere, you were like, and now we're in the forest. Like if the mountains faded away and the trees were scattered around in the rocks. And
sparsely.
Just yeah. Sparsely. And then all of a sudden it faded away and like whoosh, we were surrounded by trees. A
couple twists and turns and then it was thick, yeah. Thick forest.
Big ups on the driving there, good buddy, because I was not about to be doing that. But yeah, that was great. And it just made me feel like a little weird about like I was like kind of like Smokey the Bear, which you usually are. But I don't know. I didn't want to burn.
Yeah,
too much.
No,
I don't want to combust.
I appreciate that because I'm really nervous.
You're very
about,
into it. Yeah.
I'd have been in two fires and I'm not trying to burn down our national forest.
Fuck no. That would be our luck is we'd have to call Fish or something to bail us.
I've almost burned down Dave's cabin twice.
Yes.
But I'm not. I've learned. I've learned my lesson.
Yes.
I know what not to do.
And you've taught me well. I've learned. So we brought the Puffco. Fucking sucked on that thing all like weekend. I want to say weekend, but it was in the middle of the week. Because we live a great life. So exotic genetics. I threw out the box, I think. That is the only thing that matters.
We talked about not throwing the box away.
I didn't. I took it out and then it got thrown out.
Okay. Well,
I took it out at another function that I was at.
Oh, I see.
And oh wait, no.
Is that it or is that the other box? That's it.
No, it's the other box.
It's the other box. You're trying to fool me.
What the fuck did I do with the box? I literally made a point. I made such a point. I was like, you're never going to yell at me again.
Oh, my God.
I'm so dumb. Any Hooters. Exotic Genetics 777. You guys really figured it out. You really did. Because we felt so good. Later on, we're actually going to talk to Flip Croft Cadereo here from Good Kind, and they actually are a CBD company, an amazing CBD company that is coming out with, or that has CBG Crumble. So I was thinking, how good would that be on the exotic, like the strawberry cream and CBG mixture?
Oh, a mix. Do a little dab mix. Dab.
I feel like that would be so good.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. Anyways, I was just trying to tease the interview that we have coming up while also talking about the exotic genetics. No, we're so happy with exotic and the collaboration with 777. And is that a gram or is it a half gram?
I think this is a full G.
Yeah, that's a full G. That's great. It's great stuff. Shout outs. Big ups.
It doesn't say.
Okay.
Perfect.
It's a full G.
It's got to be. I can eyeball it, and I see a full gram.
So, it looks like a full gram to me. We should talk about politics, I guess, like every week, even though I don't want to because I hate it so much. And it's been nice that we've been able to take a break, but we're fucking back now. So, so we got to deal with it. And election's coming up. And marijuana reform and laws need to be in the forefront of your mind if you want any sort of change to be enacted. So Kamala Harris has updated her views.
Yes.
I guess is the polite way to say it.
She has. She's come a long way on her views.
Come along.
cannabis reform.
Well, she was a cop.
Before. Yes, and a prosecutor.
Which is a rough place to be when you're dealing with a Schedule I drug that is illegal.
Yes.
You're supposed to do your job.
She's mostly Oakland in the Bay Area, too. So, you know.
It was. I can't say that I love her record on marijuana in the past. I'm trying to like not get like fired up about it because I don't think we need to be. I think we should support what they're doing now. For this particular thing. So while a lot of the people running, some of them were on full legalization, some of them were on no legalization, some of them were on decriminalization, they were really all over the place. We went over it during the summer of 4,800 running mates. Joe Biden was like the only one who was like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
And he seems to be more open about it. Kamala has always been, she's from California. I mean, she's spent a majority of her time in California. She knows the deal. She knows what weed looks like. She knows the landscape. So I think she's, what, like adapted, I guess you could call it?
She's adapted. She's evolved. She's seen the light. She's seen the dollars, the dollar amounts. I'm sure she's seen what prosecution has done to people and their lives in Northern California and any places she may have been a prosecutor.
Well, firsthand, yeah.
Firsthand.
She wants to decriminalize.
Yeah. Kamala Harris joined Democratic U.S. Representative Nader of New York. And they introduced the bill into the House to
marijuana opportunity that one or oh no that's the other thing
that's the other man there we go there we go so introduces Senate bill to decriminalize marijuana at a federal level, erase past convictions, and use the funds for marijuana sales to invest in communities hit hardest by the decades-long war on drugs.
Yeah, so, you know, all the good stuff.
Yeah, all the things we love here at the Cool Nerd Weed Show.
We love this. We love this stuff. So I'm happy to hear she's seen the light. I assume that would help Biden win.
Well, with it's okay. So, with legalization being so popular in all of these states,
yes,
and even in the swing states like Arizona has a legalization bill on the ballot this November.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, you might sway some people that are Trump supporters right now and maybe a little disgruntled at DJT and are pro cannabis, that to know that that may vote for cannabis in Arizona, for example, yes on legalization, and then maybe you might get that vote for Biden and Kamala Harris because, you know, they're
for it.
They're for cannabis. So
my joke was always I joked that Donald Trump was going to do it because it would be, you know, of course he would, because it kind of be a fuck you to the Democrats a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'll be able to get the support. I think Republicans are still very hard set on keeping, even with the dollars and even with the everythings, they believe it is the devil's lettuce.
I mean, you keep seeing these Republicans talk about family values,
exactly. If we've learned, and I like my joke was that DJT was gonna just kind of be like, "Oh, fuck you, you're gonna vote for me because I'm gonna decriminalize it," and like, because then like what you know,
yeah,
he could be like, "What you got on me? Now what? You know." But I kind of rescind that because I don't think he'll be able to get the support around that, and Democrats will rally around this.
Even last week, we talked about Donald Trump joking in Wisconsin that a Republican got booted off and a Democrat was voted in because there was a cannabis vote on their particular midterm election. And that's why. So, you know, we've got up the ante a little bit.
I think aggressiveness, I don't know why, maybe I'm just trying to practice how to say Floop's name. Aggressiveness is probably a good thing right now with on that side of things. T.S. and Eileen, pretty liberal. So I think it's time to be like fucking loud. And this is aggressive. This is this decriminalization, this criminal justice plan is what they're framing it as, yeah. Which I think is the way to go. Because if you just call it a weed decriminalization plan, people are going to be not into it because they're just going to think it's about cannabis. Once you, and this is usually how history has shown, once these laws and these propositions and these whatever the fucks get put in, the thing that people love about it the most is the expunging and the allocation of tax money and all the things, all the regulatory parts of it actually are very appealing to most of the country. It's just the weird weed stigma that they can't quite get behind. So I think you're right. I think like if anybody's on a fence, this will help. So keep it up, Biden Harris.
Yeah. And, get out there. If you're not registered to vote.
Oh, fucking do it right now. Register as soon as you get your ballot. The second that shit comes in your mail, if you're in that state, please send it out. Do not wait.
It's not too late.
No, it's not too late to register. You have all the time in the world to register, really. Where are we? September? No, we're still in August. Yeah. So register. A lot of people are getting their absentee ballots already. So just please, as soon as you get it, send it. This is a big time.
I'm going to FedEx my mail-in.
Sorry, I spit on you. I just spit all in your face.
Overnight that shit. I don't care if it's $1,000.
I'm going to call Mike Tyson. We're going to smoke his weed. We're going to get his pigeons. And we're going to train all the pigeons to carry our letters fucking White House or wherever they count up. But I don't know what they do. But
I really like that idea of training a million pigeons to go to the White House.
The whole country just starts.
Just sends carrier pigeons with their melon ballots to the White House.
Shits all over. Oh, man. That's a good plan. yes, we're about to talk to one of the co-founders of the company Good Kind. And they're very, very, very worth looking at and checking out because they are part of the change that we're talking about. They are making big footsteps in the cannabis industry or in the hemp CBD industry and more so in the bigger cannabis picture, which I think is important to do this year. This is the year that everything's so loud that it's quiet almost. Does that make sense? We're all screaming so loud that somehow we're being heard. If that makes sense.
There's a hardcore song in there somewhere. Screaming for changes.
All right. Before you keep doing that, I'm gonna take a break. We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna come back with Flip from Good Kind. Super super cool dude, cool company, and we'll be right back. And we are back. It's the Cool Nerd Weed Show. That's TS.
And that's Sasha.
And we have Flip Croft Cadereo on the phone. Did I do it?
That was pretty good.
Okay, you do it. No, you do it the right way. Cut it out.
Love it.
Love it. So we have Flip.
You can just call me Flip if you'd like.
It's yeah. Really
okay. Perfect.
Yeah, we as stoners, our tongues get tied pretty easily. But yeah, you're probably used to being very patient because you work for an amazing company, a company that's doing amazing things. You're part of a company called Good Kind. Which we are really excited to talk about and inform the masses about because it sounds like something that TS and I know, have been waiting and looking for a very long time. So we'll get to that. But I want to know a little bit about you. So where are you from?
So I'm originally from Dallas, Texas. I'm actually here still. So I've never, kind of left.
Nice.
So I'm a Texan. I'm a Southern boy through and through. I've spent, Good Kind is headquartered in LA. My sister-in-law is my partner, and she's out in LA, and we kind of started the brand out there. Before COVID, I spent a lot of time going back and forth, but obviously now I'm just kind of grounded here in Texas, holding down the fort, so.
Sure, sure. So that's really, it's actually really exciting to have somebody from Texas getting into the cannabis industry because
yeah, there's not a lot of us.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was gonna say. True. You guys are a rare breed. So yeah, what kind of like inspired you to go to cannabis?
Well, I've always been a cannabis lover, a connoisseur or whatever. I was a pothead growing up.
Sure.
Whatever,
yeah.
But I was always passionate about it and passionate about the plant. And, you know, and I've got a big stroke of anarchy in me. So
hell yeah.
I liked the fact that it was illegal, you know?
Hell yeah.
And really, I came for cannabis kind of on the business side. So, you know, my background is in marketing and advertising. I've had a few ad agencies, and I currently have an agency that's focused in cannabis and CBD. And, you know, that idea of starting that agency and this brand was just like, you know, how can I just live out my passions? How can I, you know, do things that I believe in and that I care about? And, you know, I spent a lot of my career, you know, taking money from the, you know, some of the largest brands in the world, which is great and that's fun. but, you know, it just didn't scratch the itch, you know?
Sure.
It's like slinging cheap beer and cheap pizza, you know, to the masses. Really didn't, you know, fulfill anything, you know, for me, you know, personally or spiritually. So, you know, I found myself, you know, kind of right in the cannabis industry, you know, as early as I could. And, you know, started this brand, which, you know, is a hemp company. You know,
yes.
When we originally started it, we wanted to be focused in cannabis, but there's a lot of, you know, red tape and a lot of hoops that you have
Absolutely.
To jump through and a lot more money you have to spend to break into the cannabis market. So we chose kind of, you know, to go in the hemp market and hemp industry, build our brand here and build our base, and then, you know, hopefully switch over, you know, once it becomes legal, but who knows when that will happen.
Sure. That really is the best part for TS and I, because we know hemp is so versatile, and we know that hemp-based mm-hmm. products are so versatile, but and you guys even say it on your website, just like smoke, like we say it all the time. We would love to smoke or to consume good CBD flower or product or
yeah.
so on and so forth, but we just can't seem to find it.
It's really hard to
yeah.
find good hemp in, I guess, anywhere, organic. You know, a lot of times with CBD products, you don't really know the source of where your hemp's
right.
coming from.
Yeah, and we found that really just jumping into the industry as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's a lot of, especially when the cannabis industry first started, there was a lot of terrible shit out there, you know, like really
yeah.
bad products and
Still
stuff.
Is.
And that market has definitely matured. I mean, now we're looking at like 10, 12, you know, 10 years in California, 12 years in Colorado, 14 years in Colorado mm-hmm. or whatever. And you're seeing, you know, those products really, you know, this upper echelon of products and, you know, just the base kind of quality of what consumers are expecting. And you don't really find that in hemp yet, you know?
Right.
It's not there. It's not matured yet like the cannabis industry. And, you know, like I said, when we kind of switched over and decided, okay, well, let's turn our eyes towards hemp, we started smoking everything and realized, like, wow, this really sucks. Like, it's really a bad experience. It's not what we were used to, right? And so that kind of started our, you know, kind of quest for quality to really – you know, visit hemp farms and connect with, you know, farmers and manufacturers and try to really find the best stuff out there. Which, you know, if that wasn't challenging enough, you know, we currently have a, and we can kind of get into this, but we currently have a goal to source all of our products from minority and women-owned farmers and manufacturers by 2022.
That's amazing.
We brought a few products to market. We're really excited about it, but kind of in the wake of you know, George Floyd and,
sure.
and the swelling of Black Lives Matter and you know, kind of all of a sudden we're such a values-based, you know, purpose-based
right.
company. So we kind of looked around and it was crazy that we, you know, the few products that we had already brought to market, we looked up and realized, hey, we were sourcing all of it from white dudes, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing wrong with white dudes at all. It was just like, wow.
It's true. The landscape is very one color. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's so prevalent. I mean, like, I think the cannabis industry is like 80%, you know, the cannabis companies are owned by white males. And, you know, no one's done the real research on the hemp industry yet. But anecdotally, I'll tell you, it's on up there. So it's tough. So not only the kind of quality that we're, you know, trying to find, you know, as one of our staples, we're, you know, also trying to find this, like, consciously sourced, you know, way to do it. And that has been incredibly challenging and, you know, super, super tough. But, you know, it's a challenge, I think, that we're up, you know, it's a task that we're up to, and it's something that's important to our company.
And it's, it, you know, I having, and it, it is important to note that you guys are, Good Kind is minority and person of color owned and female owned, right? Your mm-hmm. co-founder is your sister-in-law. And your background yeah. in advertising just gives you that like hustle. To get that shit done. And as you know, in the like another hemp question too is, did you getting into the cannabis industry is very hard. There's so many hoops to jump through. There's so much money to spend. Mm-hmm. Was it the same type of issue in hemp, or was it like a whole new array of insanity? Because now it could be shipped all over the country, and there's certain like standards to uphold and stuff like that. Or was it kind of the same?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I mean, it's challenging. I think the hemp and CBD industry is just as challenging as the cannabis industry. I mean, it's less regulated, right?
Right.
But you're still having, like, you remember in California when it went through the labeling, you know, changes for cannabis, and like, you know, overnight, really mm-hmm. like within a week, you know, 70% of the stuff was pulled from the shelves and the dispensaries were bare, and all these brands had to like, you know, repackage everything, right. you know, just to get their stuff back in stores. So it's stuff like that that's continuing to happen. The CBD industry is in the same way. Each state does have, some states are a little bit more strict on what you have to have from a labeling perspective, but mm-hmm. You know, I think case in point, we have a Delta 8 THC cartridge that, you know, we brought to market, which is great. It's a phenomenal product, but mm-hmm. you know, this last weekend we all got scared because the DEA had basically deemed it illegal. And I don't know if you've been following the news, you know, around here, but it's been kind of amazing because
we've
seen some of these top CBD and companies that have Delta 8 products that have now sued. They're suing the DEA. They're pushing back. And we're seeing that from the DEA. I mean, basically, like, we're kind of in the clear until October. There's like a questioning period right now. But it's just, for me, and I said it earlier, you know, that stroke of anarchy in me, like, mm-hmm. for me to see CBD companies step up and say, you know, fuck you, I'm going to sue you. You know, like, these are our rights. Like, you know, we should be able to consume the medicine in the way that we want to.
Oh, yeah.
And most importantly, don't go back on what you've already deemed as law, right? Like,
right.
So something like that is amazing to me, and it just makes me proud to be a part of this industry. But that shit is stuff that we have to deal with all the time, right?
Yeah.
So I think it happens in cannabis, even though I think it's, you know, in cannabis, I feel like it's a little less rocky there just because, like I said, it's a little bit more mature, but, but yeah, I mean, it's crazy. This whole industry, I mean, on both sides, it's crazy. It's nuts, you know?
It is. They change the rules on us constantly. It's, mm-hmm. you know, what, one week they want, child resistant mm-hmm. packaging on everything. The next week they say just on these products mm-hmm. and they want this sort of the milligrams label, but then they want it as a percentage, and then they want both, and they go back and forth, and then mm-hmm. you've spent all this money on packaging mm-hmm. and labeling, and then you're just like, well, what the fuck? It can be frustrating.
And I don't think I don't think people like realize that, like, when I I tell people, like, oh, you know, I work with cannabis companies and they're advertising and marketing and all that stuff, and everyone's like, oh, well, mm-hmm. you know, they must be making tons of money, right? Like, you must be, you know, living it rich because they've got all this money to blow. And it's just like, that is not the truth at all. Like, all these companies are not even making any money. I mean, most of the companies that I work with, the largest ones are negative every single year, you know, because mm-hmm. With the amount of regulations, the amount of, you know, kind of back and forth, like we talked about, the fact that it's a cash business, and the fact that there's so much restrictions on banking and getting, you know, capital and loans and stuff, it's like, it's really prohibitive for any business to really make it. And so the unfortunate part of that is that it's really created this culture in the cannabis mm-hmm. industry where it's like, you can only make it if you're backed by money, mm-hmm. and most of that money, you know, kind of to bring it back, is, you know, it's coming from, you know, mm-hmm. the white patriarchy.
The Chads. It's going to the Chads, and man.
So, right, exactly. And so it's like, you know, it's really sad because just an amazing industry like cannabis, obviously, it's been built in the shadows, in the background, on the backs of black and brown people for so long. And so many minorities have been incarcerated because of this. only, you know, and then we fight so hard for it to become legal only to, you know, have the industry end up the way it kind of is, which is like every other industry out there, which is really terrible. So anyways, I digress, but I, I'm really passionate about trying to change that. I want to, you know, I want to shift. I want to be a part of the tides that are changing that in the hemp industry and the cannabis industry in the future.
That's great. A lot of the social equity programs in Los Angeles are they're kind of failing to actually do what they've intended, what they were supposed to do, and the spirit of the law when Prop 64 came into effect. I've got a question for you. Okay, so you have some interesting products on your website, and this is a kind of sort of a newer, I would say it's always coming to light, CBG. Now, I see you have a CBG flower and a CBG concentrate. What can you explain the benefits of CBG? CBGA?
Sure, And so it's, you know, it's challenging. You know, I'm no doctor, right? So, and I can't make any health claims based on our brand. But, you know, the research shows that, you know, CBG is super beneficial. I mean, its main property is really anti-inflammatory. So, you know, we actually also have a topical that we just created as well out of CBG isolate. And that is, it's just amazing from a anti-inflammatory, you know, standpoint. So really good as a topical and things like that. And, you know, I don't know how, you know, crunchy you guys are, but there's a lot of inflammation. There's a lot of stuff that we, you know, put in our bodies that cause inflammation. And a lot of people think that inflammation is really the cause of things like stress and our just overall health. And so, you know, CBG really, you know, helps with that. It also has some anti-anxiety properties as well. And it's actually really great. You know, it's anti-tumoral and antiviral as well. So, like, we're seeing a lot of, like, cancer patients, you know, use CBG, you know, in their treatment, you know, which is amazing. My father, actually, he passed, but he was a cancer doctor, you know, my whole life. And so hearing the stories of how terrible cancer is, just, you know, I mean, when you're a radiation oncologist, like, you know, most of your patients don't make it, you know? It's really, really, you know, it's really terrible. It's amazing to, you know, be able to create a product that hopefully can help, you know, some of those people in their time of need.
Definitely. That's what we always found super rewarding too in the industry, even pre-Prop 64, pre-legalization, all that stuff is really, it's medicine at the end of the day, for almost everybody who consumes it, and
whether they know it or not.
Exactly, whether you know it or whether you're consuming it recreationally or not, it's something, and it should be recognized as such, and in a respectful way. And it's very interesting that you saw that your whole life, and that feeds into your passion now, and even being kind of aware, extremely aware of the money that goes into it and that goes out of it. I want to talk about Dig Deep. Is that Dig Deep? The water? I want to talk about that a little bit. Yes. Did you?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So not only are you sourcing really quality CBD for the masses, and really quality ahead of the curve products for the masses, you're also super philanthropic, which I think is super rad. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Dig Deep?
Sure, yeah. So Dig Deep's a nonprofit water organization, the human rights organization. I actually serve on the board. I've served on the board for the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that really came out of just my passion for, you know, trying to do something, you know, that's centered around human rights issues.
Sure.
And I've always been passionate about human rights issues and all that stuff, but it's always been somewhere else You know, like right. We think about human rights issues. We think about water issues. We think, oh, there's, you know, people in Africa and mm-hmm. there's, you know, people in Ghana who don't have water and things like that, which is true, yes.
Right.
What we don't realize as Americans is that American citizens that don't have running water right. and that haven't had running water their entire lives, right?
So it's crazy to think about.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is amazing. And so dig deep. What Dig Deep does is, you know, first started out as an international organization. So, you know, we were, you know, flying over to, you know, Africa and building wells and doing all that stuff until, you know, the CEO George, or Director George, kind of had this epiphany. Like, wait, hold on, there's people to help at home, right? And so we're actually the only water organization that's serving the U.S. And right now, we are, you know, we've got water systems that we're installing in the Navajo Nation, which is, you know, the poorest zip code in America. And, you know, these people in all of our nation have gone without running water. I mean, these are generations where people haven't had, you know, running water. They don't have sinks. You go in their houses, their bathtubs or their sinks are just filled with boxes or, you know, other things. They use it as shelving, right?
Right.
Because they don't have anything that's coming out of the tap. And so, you know, a few of the projects there, we, you know, built wells. And we actually have a trucking program. So we install water tanks, you know, on site, obviously. Well, I don't know if you've ever been to any reservations, but it's very rural. Yeah. They live very, very far away from each other.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times there's, you know, up to 5 to 8 family members or families living on the same parcel of land. And so we go in, we put in the water tank, and then we do a trucking system where we truck water to them, you know, every month. Which it's a really cool program. They actually pay for it a little bit because it's, you know, the studies show that you know, if they do actually spend a little bit money on it, they tend to use it a little bit
sure,
better
yeah,
and
yeah.
more consciously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they, you know, kind of teaches them how to conserve water and things like that because, you know, they only get a refill of their water once a month. But yeah, so that's Dig Deep. And right now we actually just launched a program in Appalachia, which is, you know, amazing to have kind of our second site visit. But there's all this, you know, terrible water systems in Appalachia. And again, you know, the poorest parts of you know, the country.
Right.
And so, you know, we're going in there. We just started there with another partner nonprofit trying to build systems there.
It's so interesting to me, too, like the parallels between like Dig Deep and Good Kind, like the you're helping the Navajo Nation, which we built this country off of their backs, and
yeah.
we took it from yeah. them and yeah. and just walked away. That is exactly what happened with cannabis. The cannabis yeah. was just like you said, built off of people of color's backs, and we took it. And I love mm-hmm. I love that you're taking these strides and fighting this fight because it's so important and it's really truly beautiful. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like once you get into it, you kind of realize like, oh shit, this is happening everywhere.
Right.
And like colonialism,
right?
That whole idea is prevalent in every part. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. we're talking about a part of our society. We're talking about, you know, systemic racism mm-hmm. and things like that now, which is great to have in, you know, in the conversation and in people having this reckoning about it. But the realization needs to be it's ingrained in every single thing, you know, especially commerce, especially business, especially, you know, economies, you know. And
yep.
so that was really the seed of this of Good Kind was how do we build, you know. And I'm an entrepreneur. I've had a few other companies or whatever. And every time I'm trying to figure out, like, how can I do it better this time?
Yeah.
And you know, more than just having, like, hopefully we're a successful TV brand and hemp brand and all that stuff, and we can you know, bring more attention to issues of human rights mm-hmm. and you know, and our industry and all of that stuff. I think that it's an experiment, you know. It's like, you know, my great experiment is do consumers care about this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And are we ready for a product that not only is, you know, check the boxes of quality, right? Make
right.
sure it's the thing that you want, but that that it, you know, it operates on a higher level, that it operates, you know, deeper than just a simple hemp brand, that it, that right. not only that it doesn't speak about you, about the consumer, of why they chose it, but that they will actually hopefully choose our product because, you know, Kayla and I's desire, my sister and I's desire is like, how do we take this money and make it and do good in the world?
Sure.
Like, that's really what we want to do. You know, it's like,
amazing.
It's honestly a coup. Like, we just want to take some of this money and funnel it to doing some actual long lasting change in the world. And that's, you know, that's really the heart of our mission.
That's beautiful.
It is. You're going to make
us
cry. Like, we're going to sit here because we like every, like all, like we really do. The nerds are, we're just striving for something like this. We're starving for a company like this, especially in the CBD, in the hemp CBD industry. Are you fucking kidding
for
me?
Sure.
Like we're dying. We're craving this. We talk about it every single week with each other off the air, on the air. This is where the change happens, because it starts, you know, like it's like you said, the anarchy, it starts, there's like a fire, there's mm-hmm. there's, and now is the perfect time to just propel yourself forward with it.
I think the masses are hopefully becoming more enlightened, and your mm-hmm. core values will resonate with them, and they'll pick up your products, and then it just helps the whole world.
Yeah. And so where can we find Good Kind? Can we find
sure.
it now? Or yeah.
So we're sold in stores we're sold in stores and online.
Nice.
So online at goodkind.com.
Okay, cool.
GoodKind.com. And we're sold in a handful of stores in Los Angeles, a store in LA, and then in Vegas, and a handful of stores here in Dallas Fort Worth area. So, you know, we're just a startup. I mean, we really started this year. You know, our site was really launched, 4/20 of this year. So we're kind of, you know, baby stepping it there. But hopefully we'll be in a lot more CBD stores and retailers around. But, you know, until then, you could definitely pick up our products online.
And you ship in all 50 states, do you all?
We do. We ship to all 50 states except for our Delta 8, Delta 8 cartridge. We can ship to 42 states.
Oh.
There's
okay.
eight states where Delta 8 is considered. There's some states that consider total THC as opposed to just Delta 9 THC.
Okay.
As the legal limit or whatever. And then those states we can't ship Delta 8, but almost everywhere.
we're getting there.
Straight.
Yeah.
It's changing. We're changing opinions and laws little by little. We're seeing the revolution.
Well, I'm excited about that. I mean, like, I don't know if you followed. I don't know if you're a fan of kratom at all. I'm actually not, but the kratom industry, kind of went through the same thing where it's this legal thing and it was out and everything, and then the DEA came in and tried to reschedule it, and they sued. And they won. And like now kratom is like, it's those stories that give me, you know, kind of hope for this industry. And, it's exciting to be in it, but, it feels a little rebellious.
And it's good to have that. It does.
It's really
nice.
Why I started.
Well, yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
Yeah,
people
right?
like us, I think it's just like, it's nice to like feel the breeze of fighting the good fight with like-minded people.
Absolutely.
and it's just, it's nice. It's nice to have that, like, that fire inside that's, like, part anger, part outrage, but also part hope. We're, at the end of the day, we're hopeful people. You know, we want the best for this industry. You want the best for the world in general. So it's really, it's very encouraging to know that companies like yours exist with quality products and quality ethics to back it up. So, like, thank you for existing, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you for existing. I mean, you know, y'all. I mean, I only got to hear a few of your episodes, but this show is amazing.
Thank you. Super entertaining.
And like, just I was just so honored to be able, you know, to be able to be on. So thank you so much.
Wow, that was awesome. Check out Good Kind, GoodKind.com. They are sold all over the country, can be shipped all over the country. We're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
And we're back.
It's the Cool Nerd Weed Show. Freaking awesome discussion and conversation with Flip. Thank you so much. Check out Good Kind. They're fucking amazing, and we are so stoked to try it.
Yeah, he was so cool.
He was so cool. He made us cry. So so that's how cool he was. But now, okay, so this is funny. We talk a lot about how, follow us on Twitter at Cool Nerd Weed. Follow us on Instagram at Cool Nerd Weed Show. So we talk a lot about how there's going to be, with decriminalization and regulations, there's going to come some sort of equivalent of a drunk driving test, right?
Yeah. They want to figure out
how to measure
impairment for cannabis.
Now listen, I'm going to say this, and you can agree to or disagree. But I'm pretty sure I can represent the show on this. We don't want you. We don't want you to be impaired behind the wheel. We don't want you to be impaired at work. You know your body better than anybody else. Figure it out.
Exactly. I agree.
Be responsible and fucking figure it out. Now, that said, I am often taking my weed medicine when I am on a job. I'm not operating heavy machinery, usually. I usually try not to get too high to drive. I don't think I ever have been. Have you?
Not in about 25 years.
Maybe edibles, I would say. The last time I felt too high to drive was when I went to the cannabis cafe, and I think we tried the gravity bong or something. And that was dumb.
We just chilled out for a while.
Yeah, we just chilled, and then I was like, holy shit, I feel really high. But know your body. Do not do it. Not only is it unsafe, but you're probably going to get tested really soon. They're probably going to start pulling people over and trying to figure out what is the general impairment of everyone, which is not going to happen because you can't judge weed like that. That's what I'm leading up to.
I don't think it's universal. There's no quantifying number.
There's no way.
Applies to every single person in the world.
There's just not. Like, I we were just talking about it. I can take 200 milligrams like that. TS is like, what the fuck? Like you cannot. He cannot. He is twice my size.
Yes.
I was going to say age, but he's not twice my age.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say that just to fuck with you because you were just singing.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding. He's not. he's twice my size at the very least. I am a small person. So everybody's different. Fatal Vision marijuana goggles. Did you see how much these shits are, too?
The Fatal Vision marijuana simulation goggles. No, I don't know how much they are. Oh, holy shit. Okay, there's the price list. For the kit, you're looking at, like, over $4,000.
Now, who's buying? Is this for police? Is this for your mom and dad? Like, is this for...
This is, like... Okay, we watched the video.
Okay, which we're going
to
play.
And it looked like they were trying to use it as sort of a scared straight... all those kids in the video look like they were middle school.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to play the video. Okay. We're just going to play it.
Roll it.
I mean, they've got the cool music, so... Yeah.
The following video is a demonstration of the Fatal Vision Marijuana Simulation Experience maze activity.
Okay, so they're doing a maze.
Yes.
They're the maze is being put in front of them.
Yes, once without the clock.
Like your run-of-the-mill...
Just like a maze you'd find in the back of a Denny's menu.
Chili's, you said Denny's. I don't know why.
Use this activity to model and demonstrate impaired executive function or a person's use of problem-solving skills and memory to perform a familiar and straightforward cognitive task. Participants follow the simple activity instructions without the use of the Fatal Vision marijuana goggles.
Okay, so first they're quote-unquote sober.
Yes.
So they're drawing on
you
this
just,
thing.
You just complete like the just maze.
Happy to be there. Kids, how these are like teenagers, right?
They could be
early 20s or something. They look young in the
they
video.
Look I thought they were like middle school, but maybe like freshman, sophomore, high like school kids. I don't know.
They'll select the pen with the red light and solve the simple maze. The purpose is to demonstrate the participants' ability to use their memory, problem-solving skills, and make decisions to complete this cognitive task.
Okay, great.
The participant performs the task a second time, this time wearing the marijuana goggles.
Okay, so now their whole world's fucked up.
Okay.
Now they're putting on the goggles.
So they perform this simple task without the goggles.
Easy.
No problem.
Now they're putting on the devil's lettuce.
The participant will struggle to select the lighted pen and experience confusion, hesitation, and difficulty in solving the maze.
I forgot what the pen is.
Oh, pause. So He puts the goggles on, and then there's like six pens, and they're all they're all glowing red in different places, and you're supposed to pick one colorful pen, I guess.
I guess.
And so first you struggle to pick up the correct pen.
Right.
Okay.
This activity facilitates discussion with your participants about the negative impact of marijuana and THC impairment on a person's performance in the workplace.
So their hope is that they're going to see that you're going to put on the goggles and you're going to be like, whoa, I want to start a dialogue about how crazy I feel and my baby is drowning in the bathtub and stuff.
At school, behind the wheel, and at home, and also serves as a great conversation starter about substance abuse. For more information... What? Visit our website at fatalvision.com.
No, we're not plugging the fucking website. So that's where it is now. That's where the science is. It is, they're still likening it to a drunk driving test, which is fucking ridiculous. And then they're villainizing marijuana, talking about substance abuse and shit. I'm not a fan of this.
I'm not either, but I'm thinking maybe I'm not fucking buying the starter kit. But maybe we can get somebody to demo this for us.
That would be cool. And because they didn't show. They don't show what it looks like.
They
which
don't
is
show you the
very important. This is something that the video leaves out. They're not showing you what the goggles do. They probably make it look like your brain is probably a little whirly dervy.
Whirly
dervish.
Dervish.
It probably like messes up your brain and your responses and stuff like that. But that's not everybody when they get high that does that happen
to. It looks like a sort of almost like a colorblind test, this this maze.
Yeah.
And then there's red lights, and then maybe...
Which is confusing on its own.
Maybe the light... So it's a blinking flashing pen that you're supposed to complete this maze with these goggles on. And everybody looks all wacky when they're trying to complete the maze, and they can't... Okay, so look, this is how they're saying this thing works. The goggles impair... participants' ability to accurately perceive color. This lack of perception means the participant does not have all the necessary information to successfully complete specific designed activities.
Right.
So, and it's saying when you're under the influence of marijuana, you do not, in fact, lose your ability to perceive color.
Yeah, but it's probably the same, like, indicator in your brain. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, but then it goes on to say, however, the goggles model recreational marijuana's true effects. They diminish your capacity to make quick, accurate decisions and cause you to miss important external cues that could lead to a crash.
Yeah. So.
So what?
I think what they're saying is, when you're high, the same receptors or some, I don't know, maybe they're not even putting that much science into it and they're just using a colorblind test.
It looks like sort of some kind of colorblind test to just kind of confuse your brain.
Right.
To, through
which
these
is what they're saying marijuana does.
Colors on the maze, and then the flashing colored light pen combined with the goggles make you not be able to do this maze anymore.
Yeah.
Now, what if I took this test and I ate my 50 milligram capsule like an hour before, and I take the...
And then you had double goggles?
So I complete the maze pretty accurately.
On 50 milligrams.
On 50 milligrams, no problem. And then they give me these raver goggles and a blinking pen, and they tell me to complete the task then. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it.
Probably not. No, I don't think so.
With the
either.
Double goggles.
Not with the double
goggles. Maybe you...
My thing is like what like the go- like who are these goggles based out of, you know, based off of, like, we all have been so drunk that the world is a whirly dervish. I don't know. I feel like the test is gonna need to be honed in a little bit. Is all I'm saying.
I think so. There is an alcohol version, but I don't know if the what are they basing this on?
That's what I'm saying.
Who's in charge here?
Who said that it's like that? So that's funny. So if you are interested in having a dialogue with somebody about something, check those guys out, I guess. We are not going to be. We know our bodies, but we don't know what the legal threshold is going to be, and it's going to be something. So we should be, I think, on the lookout for that. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
So that's our show. Thank you for listening week after week. Thank you, Flip from Good Kind. Check out Good Kind. Please, please check them out. They are super amazing. We have a couple good things coming up for you. Pretty big surprises. Pretty big things lined up. The nerds, the nerds are kicking it into gear during COVID.
Yeah.
We're doing our best. And that's because of you. So follow us on Twitter at Cool Nerd Weed. Follow us on Instagram at Cool Nerd Weed Show. We love you so much. And
don't panic.
It's organic.